Beloved brothers and sisters, if I can say this over you, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I was reading through the Old Testament, and I came upon a blessing when Jacob is old, he's about to die, and he calls the sons of Joseph to him, and he puts his hands on them, and he blesses them. And as I was sitting there, as I was reading this blessing that Jacob is pronouncing over his grandchildren, I just sat on it for a little bit. I read it a few times, and I thought about it, and I was so amazed by what it said. And with this thought in my mind, I started asking myself, how many times do we go about life blessing people, saying, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you? Kind of like this blessing that I started off with. It's a blessing that's announced in the book of Ruth, and it's pronounced in the book of Psalms, right? So the question is, people in the Old Testament, they pronounce blessings. Should we be pronouncing blessings over people as well? So the title of my sermon is something along the lines of this: we bless you in the name of the Lord. And it's for the purpose of looking through the scriptures and seeing these examples of people pronouncing blessings, and if we should do that, how we should do that to also be like Christ. And that's the way how I want to start off. If we look at it, Jesus said that in the book of Proverbs, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. So there's power in our words, right? The way how I always say to the kids in Sunday school is when we see something and we have a question, we look in the scriptures, and if we can find Jesus as an example, he is the perfect example to give us pointers on how we should live our lives. I have a PowerPoint to make it easier so we don't have to like search the scriptures for all these different Bible verses and stuff. And the first point is actually Jesus as our great example. As I'm going to go through some of these, each one of them has its important points, thoughts that we can think about and stuff. And we could go on and on for each one of them, talking about each one of these blessings, because they all have this wealth of history that comes with this blessing, right? And I won't go into it, but I want to go through a few of them and just point out a few interesting things as we see these different blessings being pronounced from one person to another through the scriptures. And then at the end, I have a list of them. So if you actually want to take a picture, I highly encourage you, when you're sitting there reading your Bible one of the nights this week, choose one of these. Take some time, read a few extra verses, and just think about these words, these blessings, and see if you can bless someone in your life with them. So if you can go to the next slide. The first one, like I said, that I want to look at is Jesus, because Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And I've thought about this a few times. I imagine Jesus has all these children, right, that come to him, and he says, let the children come to me. And what does he do? Mark says, even further, he takes them in his arms, he lays his hands on them, and he blesses them. And it's kind of this question, what did Jesus say to them? How did Jesus love on these little children and pronounce the blessing of the Father on them, right? So it's kind of this idea that made me start searching through the scriptures. How should we be pronouncing blessings on children, on adults, on husbands, on wives? These different ideas, you know, that you don't think about because we aren't trained, so to speak, to do that, you know? So that's the first example. Jesus, our perfect example, he himself called the little children unto him, and he blessed them. And I'll get back to him at the end, because Jesus didn't stop at the children, but he kept going to the adults. But I want to finish with that. So the first blessing that I really want us to dive into, if you can go to the next slide, is the blessing that God gives to Abraham. And here's the thing. It starts off with God blessing us as Christians, and then us as Christians being able to bless others. If we read this, this is the introduction of the story of Abram, right? He's not Abraham yet. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God made this promise, and he fulfilled his promise. We can look clearly and say that Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born from the descendants of Abraham. And truly, through him, all the families of the earth are blessed, right? So God promised these, and these promises that he made, he fulfilled them. But I want to focus on that, that line I put in bold right there. And you shall be a blessing. Us as Christians, we have this grace that we can come into the presence of God, that we are forgiven of our sins, that we are healed from our iniquities, like it says in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the one who removes all my sins, who heals me of all my iniquities, right? So we come to God, we are healed by him, we are restored by him, we get all these blessings from God our Father, and the purpose is this. It's so that we can be a blessing unto others. Okay? So not only is it something that we are encouraged to do by looking at Christ, but it's actually part of our calling as Christians that we are supposed to be a blessing unto others in our lives, in our work, in our school, in anything that we do. We have to keep our eyes open. So if we can be a blessing to others, to be a blessing. Like I said, this is just the appetizer, right? You could sit there and think about these three verses so much more, but I want to go through a few of them like this. Point by point, real fast. If you go to the next blessing. So God blesses Abraham, right? The best father blessing his son, right? And then we come to the next blessing, the Aaronic blessing. And I love it because I was thinking about this a few weeks ago. I didn't know that we were going to be having a baby dedication today. But I love when we have baby dedications in the church. It's one of my favorite things that we have families that come together and present their child as a living offering before God. And they say, God, put your hand on this child. Be with this child. Bless this child. I want to read these verses. Speak to Aaron and his sons and say, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I love the verse at the end. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It's so beautiful that God, he blesses his children, and then he says, and you go and bless your children. Notice that this doesn't say you can only bless your children when they're kids. It says, speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. This is for everyone, young and old. As we go through life, we should be encouraged to speak to one another, to encourage one another and say, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. All of these blessings, right? And I was reading this one time, and because I like these verses so much, I was like, oh man, I've got to memorize these verses. This is one of the things I do. As I read through the scriptures, verses that speak to me, I try to memorize them so I can hide them in my heart, like it says in Psalm 119. And as I was looking at it, I put it in bold up there, a few of the words. It's the verbs that are in the verses. And it's an easy way for you to go home and remember it, right? I'm very pro going home and doing a little bit of homework and studying the scriptures. The Lord bless you and keep you. They both have the letter E in them. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. They both have the letter A in them. And then the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. They both have the letter I in them. So you just have to remember the E goes with the E, the A goes with the A, and the I goes with the I. And I know it's really silly, but I memorize things like that, and it helped me remember it. So this was years ago that I memorized these verses. And to this day, I can just rattle them off because I thought about it, and that I'm going to memorize these verses so I can speak these words over someone and bless someone. So this is the Aaronic blessing. So first we start off with God blessing us as his children. And then us, as his people, as the people of God, we can bless one another, right? Not necessarily by age. We have to say, oh, we can't bless this person like this because they're younger than us or older than us. This is a blessing that we can pronounce over anyone. If you go to the next slide, the next blessing is the sons of Joseph. And again, this is the one that it started off with. Because I was reading this, and it's so beautiful. Jacob, he's old. He's lived 147 years to this point. And he has this blessing. And it isn't just a blessing that he's going to say. I want you to listen to it. He blessed Joseph, and he said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, to the God who fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And then if we go down a few verses to verse 20, it says, so he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless. The whole nation of Israel will bless their sons like this. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. It's so beautiful. This is a blessing for sons, that the Lord who has worked in my life, may he be upon you. May his hand rest upon you. How it says that this angel who guided me, who delivered me from all my evil, he did this. If you go to the next slide. This blessing that Jacob pronounces over his grandchildren. The author of Hebrews, he looks at it and he points it out in a different way. He says this, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. At first, when you read this blessing, you're like, oh, this is a cool blessing. It's how Jacob talks about his life, his relationship with God, and how he wants the same blessing to be upon his sons. And the author of Hebrews, he says, no, don't miss the point. This act of blessing his sons and his grandsons was an act of worship unto God. Not only are we called to bless people, not only are we given this great gift and this grace that we can bless people, but God has also given it as a chance for us to worship him. If you look at what Jacob says, he's praising God for God's work, for God's hand in his life. Like I was saying, I started off the sermon looking at this blessing because I was thinking about the dichotomy. If you look at the beginning of Jacob's life, where he's struggling to gain more, to fight for himself, to gain all these things in life. And then at the end of his life, when he says this, it was the Lord who gave me everything. It was the angel of God who protected me. And his act of blessing his sons and his grandsons isn't just an act of faith, but it's also an act of worship, where he's glorifying God for what God has done in his life. It's amazing, an opportunity for parents to bring their children together and bless them and say, this is what the Lord has done in my life. The same way how God has blessed me, I want him to bless you. I want him to put his name upon you. The same blessings that I received from my parents, I want them to go upon you so that you can be a blessing unto others. So this is a blessing for sons. If you go to the next one, there's a blessing for daughters. It's the blessing of Leah and Rachel. This is found in the book of Ruth, when Ruth and Boaz have their whole saga, right? I love the drama that goes on in this book. And then Boaz finally takes her and they get married. And I love this. It says, all the people who are at the gate and the elders, they said, we are witnesses. The Lord make this woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So this is a blessing for daughters. We have a blessing for sons. We also have a blessing for daughters. And this is what I love about this. Look at the beginning of the verse. Who is the one who pronounces these blessings over the daughters? All the people who were at the gate and the elders. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this saying, it takes a village to raise a child. The best example that you can possibly see of that is that it takes a church to raise godly people. It takes a church to raise up young men and young women who will worship God and serve God. It's not just a job for moms and dads to bless the boys and the girls in this church, to encourage them when they come up and they sing, when they play on the piano, when they do different things to worship God, but it's the goal of the whole church to encourage and to bless these young hearts so that they don't get lost in the world. I love that. This blessing that goes to the daughters of Israel is from all the people. The father is he's called out to call out the blessing of God upon his sons, and all the nation is supposed to draw together to make sure that not one of the children is lost by any other means. So this is the blessing of Leah and Rachel, the blessing for sons, the blessing for daughters. Can you please go to the next slide? Here I have a few more. I just listed them out. I didn't want to go into all of them because it would take a long time to go into all of them. As I said, each one of them could be a sermon on its own. You have the blessings that Isaac gives unto Jacob and Esau, two brothers who were at war from the womb, right? And God has blessings for each of them. He has promises for each one that he wants to fulfill in their lives. If you look at Israel and his sons in Genesis 49, it's a whole chapter where all he does is he calls his children there and he blesses them and he prophesies over them. Again, this act of worship and faith that he blesses his sons and he says, this is what's going to happen to you. Trust God, remain in him. If you look in those verses, there are some sons who get blessed and it's great. Zebulun will sit by the seashore. Sounds great. I would be down to go to the seashore. And then you have other sons that the prophecy over them, the blessing over them is you're going to go through hard times. I said that. I want to say it again to make sure you catch it. Some sons are blessed that they're going to live at the seashore. And some sons are blessed that they are going to go through hard times. But God is with them. The blessing of the Lord is upon them. Just like Jacob said, the blessing of my father's name, may it rest upon you. And the Lord God, the angel of the Lord, to be with you. Even though I know you're going to go through hard times, don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. Life may be good, life may be bad, but you still have to trust in God. And so I bless you so that you can trust in him, so your faith is strong as you go throughout life. If we look at the blessing of work, that's the one that I started off with. When Boaz goes out to the people in the field, he says that. He says, the Lord be with you, and the Lord be gracious unto you. And that's the verses that I started with. The Lord bless you and keep you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. It was a greeting that he started going out into the fields. We're going to work. God has given us this blessing that we can go and work, that we can do something with our hands, with our feet to bless someone else. It's a blessing that we can go and we can work. And so like I put it up there. It's in two places. And then the blessing of a virtuous woman. You may not think of this, but when you read in Proverbs 31, when it has that praise of a virtuous woman, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is greater than rubies. Her husband's heart safely trusts in her, so that she will do him good and not evil all the days of this life. And then it goes through. And it lists all these great qualities and these attributes of a woman of God. And then it ends with these two verses. It says that her children rise up and call her blessed. And then it says that her husband also. And he praises her. Part of the job of a husband is to see the worth and the value in his wife and to bless her. Children are called to look upon their parents and to appreciate their sacrifices, their love, their life, and to bless them. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, and he says, many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. It's a calling that we have to, in our families, be sharing the love that God has put within us and the blessing that the Lord has given us. So these are some, I just flew through them. I didn't want to stop on each one of them and like go into it. But there's so much. And if you can go to the next slide. If you don't have a family, if you don't have a husband or a wife or children, if your parents have died and you feel alone, the Lord still has blessings for you. This is one of my favorite blessings. If you look in Psalm 91, it's a prayer of praise. And it's talking about the protection and the provision of God. And it's the author. He's speaking the whole time until it gets to the last few verses. He's praising God. He's glorifying God. He's thanking God for his work and his life, all the things that he has done. And then, all of a sudden, the author changes. It's no longer David or Moses. It's believed to be Moses who wrote this psalm. It's no longer this person who's writing this anymore, but it's the Lord who's giving us a promise. And he says this, because this person who recognized my hand in his life, This person who can say these words, that they've put their trust in me. This is God saying this. Because this person has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Amen. And I love these words because you can read these words no matter where you are in life and say, God, I trust in you. I call upon you and I know that you will answer me because you promised that you would. And this is the blessing that God has for each one of us as his children. That if we call upon him, he will answer us. That he will deliver us and honor us. And I love how it ends with this. With long life, I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. This is what it comes down to. God will show his salvation to any who call upon him. This is the blessing of the Lord that he wants to share with each and every one of us, no matter where you are in life. Like I said, for sons, for daughters, for wives, for husbands, there are all these blessings. But if you don't have that, you still have God. And God has all these blessings that he has in store for you. And then below it, I put an example. There's this fella named Jabez. It's a story, a whole sermon, a whole life that's hidden in these two verses. The book of Chronicles, it starts off and it says there was this guy who had this son, and then this guy who had this son, and this guy who had that son, and this guy who had that son. And it just goes on and on and on for like 8 chapters. And there's a lot of really cool things, actually, if you dig into it and you find out, oh, this is the person that God used for this. Oh, this is where Moses comes from. Oh, this is where this happens. It's very, very cool if you can spend the time and you can actually chew on it enough. But there's this passage, these two verses, about this man named Jabez. That's all it is. Two verses that encapsulate a whole man's life. And you know what it was? It was a man who called upon God. And it says, and God answered him. And that's it. That's all that it was. His whole life, his whole testimony is wrapped up in two verses. This man was more righteous than his brothers. He called upon God, and God answered him. If I can die and go to heaven and have that be my testimony, that I was righteous, that I called upon God, and God answered me. It's enough. This blessing that God has for his children, for all who love him, who call upon him, it's fulfilled in this man, Jabez, in his life. So that's a great example to go home and to read and think about how this man prays. How should we pray when we want God to bless us? He says, oh, God, bless me indeed. And God blessed him. If you can go to the next slide, please. The last thing I want to end with is full circle coming back to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We start with Jesus. We end with Jesus. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I've thought about this before. How did Jesus bless the children who came unto him? He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. What did he say to them? Did he say, I bless you, like Ephraim and Manasseh? I bless you, like Laban. What did he say to them? How did he bless the people who were closest to him, his disciples? And I was reading one time the book of John, and as I was reading, I got to John verse 3, which I memorized years ago for Sunday school. And it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, the eternal God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And it hit me, and it was like a thunderbolt. As I read this, I was like, whoa, 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 wait a second. Like, I know John 17 is Jesus praying to the Father, but it didn't hit me until then. This is how Jesus sounded when he prayed for his disciples, when he prayed for the ones whom he loved most, and he asked the hand of the Lord to be upon them. This is how he prayed for them. This is how he poured out his heart into the people that he cared about and that he had molded and that he had invested and surely prayed for hours and hours and agonized for each one about. Think about it. For Peter, he says, I've prayed for you that even though you would be sifted, that you would not fall from the faith, that you would be able to encourage your brethren. Jesus suffered and he hurt for each one of these men. And this right here is just a glimpse into Jesus' relationship with God and how he prayed for others to bless others. This, if you don't go home and look up any of the other passages, I encourage you to go home and look at John 17. Whenever I get to it now, I don't read this in my head. I usually read the scriptures in my head just because I can read it more quickly. But when I get to John 17, I make it a point to pray it out loud because it's a prayer. And I want to hear, what did Jesus pray like? Does my prayer sound like him? When I pray for my friends or my family, does it sound like Jesus sounds? I want to know how Jesus sounds so I can make sure my prayers are like that, so that my prayers and my blessings can be upon people like that. So I wanted to start off with Jesus and end with Jesus. That's really the end of my sermon for tonight. At the end, I have one last slide, and this is the list of the different blessings that I said. If you want to take a picture, you can go online and take a photo after it. But again, the encouragement is this. Again, as a Sunday school teacher, someone who works with kids, I know that there's only so much that we can go through at once, but go home. Choose one of these passages. If you choose one of these passages, you won't get through all of them before next Sunday. But you can go home tonight and pray one of these passages over your family. You can go home tomorrow and while you're reading the scriptures, pray some of these blessings over the children of the church. You can go home, and if you have no one there to pray for, you can pray these things and ask that God would bless you. Because God promises his blessings to his children because he loves us. So again, just to summarize, I do believe that God has called us to bless others. I believe that he has blessed us so that we can be a blessing unto others. I believe that when we bless others, it is an act of faith and it is an act of worship unto God. Because we are glorifying God, we're saying God has worked in my life and I want him to work in your life. So it's an act of faith. And that eventually, as we do this, we would go through life seeking how we could be a blessing unto others, that we would become more and more like Christ. Because that is our goal in life. Today in Sunday school, I'm so excited because I'm teaching the kids again. We were talking about prayer and spending time with God. And as we spend more time with God, we see his will for our lives. It unfolds. I have the pleasure of working with 12-year-olds, you know? They're like, what is God's calling in my life? I'm like, I don't know. God knows. He wants you to discover it, though. As you spend more time with him, as you draw closer to him, as you become more like Christ, he reveals himself to you. And that's our goal as Christians, to be more and more like Christ. So I hope that this blessing blesses you. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. And I bless you all in the name of the Lord. Amen.